Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is our relatively new engineer and producer on the program. It's been over a month since Bustos Media took over our operation. Things going very well. Everybody's settling in with the new ownership and the construction. Nothing today, but, you know, that's kind of the way construction goes, right? Some days on, some days off. You never know. The Buckmaster Show with you on this Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. Of course, we are from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. That's my website where you'll find pretty much every show we've done since January 3rd, 2011. And of course, kvoi.com has our live stream. Our live line number is 790-2040. Once a month, usually the first Tuesday of the month, depending on actually, it will be the second Tuesday in January, but that's because of the way the holiday falls. Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Mr. Bracey has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Morris K. Udall, congressman, longtime congressman from Arizona. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's the senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. That organization represents here locally the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm fine in spite of the cold.
In spite of the cold. You're getting some really cold weather back in the Capitol, huh?
Yeah, and tomorrow, it's too bad. Tomorrow they're going to have, you know, a lot of activities and around the funeral of President Bush, and it is going to be cold.
Yep.
And maybe snow, but we'll see.
Well, why don't we begin with the start of the important deaths, the important passings of former President George H.W. Bush and former longtime Congressman Ed Pastor.
Yeah, well, why don't we start with the president? President Bush, as you know, Bill, was probably the last and perhaps the best product of the old-line Republican establishment. His dad, Prescott Bush, was a senator. And by the time George Bush was 19 years old, he was already flying a fighter plane for the U.S. He had received many awards for courage under fire. He graduated from Yale, and before he was turned 40, he had made a fortune in oil and lived in Texas. So with his fortune assured, he then set out to really serve the nation, and serve it he did.
Yeah, he really did. And you think back, I mean, 18, 19-year-old kid as a fighter pilot in the South Pacific, really remarkable. And he went on to hold some really important jobs, didn't he? Ambassador to China, head of the CIA, of course, as well as being president and vice president.
Yeah, he had just an amazing historic career. I was lucky. I got to know him when he served two terms in the House from 67 to 73. And I was, of course, working for Congressman Udall, who was, you know, much-loved congressman, and he and Bush became friends. And I got a chance to know him through Mo and work on some national park bills with him. And he tended to work on them himself. Bush was also, he was an excellent athlete, and he used to love to challenge what he called the young guys to all kinds of games. And in my case, I was a tennis player and a racquetball player, and at that age, and I had several matches with him in the house gym. It was great fun. And then just the kind of guy was, when Mo took a terrible fall later in life and had to resign from the Congress, we set up a little reception very early, just within a couple of days, just so most friends could get together and try to make each other feel better. And at that morning, I got a call from then President Bush's secretary, who asked if the president could be invited, that he would like to attend. And I said, "Well, that would be a really special thing for us, and I really would like to do it." So I met him up there, and he stayed, I would say, for an hour and 15 minutes on a very busy time. Of course, presidents are always busy, but walked around the room just like an average Joe and shook hands with people and talked to them, and didn't want to be the star of the show himself, just wanted to talk to people and talk about Mo. And that's the kind of guy he was. He was that kind of guy.
We also lost Congressman Ed Pastor, who succeeded Mo Udall and was the first Latino elected to represent Arizona in the Congress. How well did you know Ed Pastor?
Well, I knew him very well. And he, of course, there was a battle royal in the Democratic Party to replace him, and I actually supported Tom Bolge, who was our mayor at the time, because I had represented Tucson a long time, and I also thought Tom would make a great congressman. But anyway, that settled down, and you know, as Ed got to know our area, he really became more and more interested. He was thought just to be a Phoenix congressman. Well, let me tell you, Ed ended up doing so much for Southern Arizona in the downtown that the mayor and council decided to name the eastern part of downtown, you know, Bill, down by the train station. That's now called Pastor Plaza, for all the work that Congressman Pastor did to get federal funds to start the rebuild of our whole downtown.
Yeah, really one of the heroes of that whole downtown restoration, which has taken off. Terry, you and I have December birthdays just a day apart.
Here they are.
Just coming up here in a week or so, and as we get older, do you find that these birthdays become days to reminisce about your life and maybe some of the lessons we've learned?
Well, you know, I do. You know, birthdays have become times, you know, you really don't want to celebrate the next year that you're older, but they become moments where I find myself thinking about my wife and my family and all the wonderful people who've helped me in life. And more and more, Bill, I'm thinking about the larger issues, the public policy issues that have shaped our lives, just shaped our lives. Great things, access to education, Social Security, and Medicare, which brought so much dignity to the old people in my family, and good things that the government has provided me, and the bad things, too.
And, of course, there's been some bad things, and one constant has been war, correct?
That's right. Endless war. You know, I'm a World War II baby. I'm an old guy. The first time I actually met my dad was in a St. Louis mental institution in 1945, after his generation of soldiers had returned home sort of battered and broken from the war. And, you know, Bill, maybe it was PTSD. We didn't have a treatment then other than electric shock treatment, which he received. But, you know, he was never raised. He's a brilliant man, funny guy, but he fought depression his entire life, as so many of those who fought in World War II did.
Yeah,
I remember Stuart Udall talking about that and how they just didn't want to talk about it no matter what they did.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is the case and was the case with so many of those who served and what we often call the greatest generation. Terry, I've only got about a minute left, but there were other issues, of course, that we all dealt with.
Well, Bill, as you know, we went from World War II in less than a decade. We're in the Korean War.
Yeah.
And then we have the Cold War as the Russians got the formula to the A-bomb, and we're all, in our generation, sitting in school, in our school under our desks taking all this kind of advice on how to, you know, protect yourself from a nuclear blast.
Duck and, cover, they called it. Duck and cover. Yeah, that's
that
it.
Well.
I do remember it. Yeah.
So I guess, in summary, the biggest single disappointment and failure of my generation, I feel, is to reverse this constant draining, financially and physically and mentally draining state of war. And, you know, it bothers me, Bill, as I think about it, that we've, you know, I can't complain. We've got, you know, we've spent and won wars that we had to win. But what really bothers me is when I think of the awesome resources that we failed to spend on peace and on the dreams of the nation. Yep. You know, college education for everybody. You know, we could have really attacked poverty.
And infrastructure. Yeah.
And infrastructure and cancer and so much else.
I don't know.
War. But anyway, I want to say, you know, happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, happy holidays to everyone, especially Terry. We appreciate so much your contribution to this program. Hope you have a great birthday coming up here the 17th, the day after my birthday. So
that's it. You're one up on me again.
I'm a day younger. How's that? No, we're a couple of years apart. But anyway, Terry, thanks a lot. Have a great holiday season.
Okay, you too.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey, our guy in Washington. This portion of the program presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, our favorite Danish bakery, our favorite bakery for that matter, and home of the Danish Kringle. Those Kringles just go with Christmas. I would put my order in right now. I'd like a great Danish Kringle on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve day. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Go to monasdanishbakery.com. That's their website. You can go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's also a link there to Mona's. If you're out and about right now up in the foothills, stop by for lunch. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. A sandwich at Mona's is something to be savored. The bread, a wide variety of choice of bread, great sandwiches. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
CFP is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I have a ton of questions for Shelley Fishman, who joins us now. Shelley, how are you, sir?
Well, it's Tuesday, Bill, and the curse is back.
It is back, and that's where we begin today with the markets really taking a big tumble. I thought maybe we had turned a corner. Guess not.
No, we're back about where we were last week. So the roller coaster continues, and we have a president who can't keep his mouth shut and makes promises that turn out not to be verifiable, and when the market reacts well, it hopefully to what he says, and then the next day finds out that what he says isn't really maybe what he meant, and so the market then turns around and counter reacts. So what we have right now is we're back down to about 25,200. If memory serves, it's about where we were a week ago. So it has been a very optimistic couple of days, followed by a real tragedy today.
Yeah, a real tragedy. We're down off the lows. We were down over 700, almost pushing 800 points. We're at about 650, right? Something like
that. It's about 640 right now, and that's 2.5%. And
it's a lot.
The downward movement this time is being led by the financial sector, which is down almost twice that, almost 5%. So that's not good. I think the sector is worrying about the housing market and the increased cost of mortgages. Nobody's quite sure what the Fed will do. We had some good words last week from Fed Chairman who indicated perhaps we'd have fewer rate increases next year than had been built in. And now in some more recent discussions that they've had with the various Fed presidents and with the Fed chairman himself, we're not so sure. So we'll almost certainly get a quarter point increase here in December. What happens next year is probably going to be, to some extent, dependent upon what we see in the first or in the last quarter GDP number that will come out in January.
I was thinking about you as I read David Leonhardt's column in the New York Times talking about how boards of directors and top management really have so many they have a handful, usually, of masters to serve.
Yeah, you know, that's
maybe even more.
That's this is a great article. I would recommend it to listeners to go to the New York Times site and get David Leonhardt's most recent op-ed. What he's talking about here is, I think, a response to what we're seeing from the Democrats, which is a movement to the left that is being called by those people who want to call things names, socialism. And what Leonhardt is trying to do is put this in historical perspective. what we saw at the end of World War II was a willingness on the part of corporations to accept the fact that there was going to be government regulation and that there was going to be continuing oversight of corporations by the government. Toward the end of the war, there was no certainty whatsoever that the economy would continue to grow well once the war was over. After all, we had just come through 15 years of war and depression. We had a world that was torn up, and so that the idea that our trading partners would be able to trade with us in a way that made some economic sense was very doubtful. We had a wartime economy that had to be transferred to a peacetime economy, and we had literally millions of soldiers coming back from that war who were going to be looking for jobs with no real certainty that there would be the demand for the kinds of products and services that would be needed. So the industry leaders at the time understood that they were going to be somewhat reliant on the government, and they accepted that. That acceptance, general acceptance of, by the way, both on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, that acceptance created tremendous growth, believe it or not, through the late 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. And it wasn't until the early 70s that we began to see people backing off that growth, beginning to see, mostly with the rise of the conservative and the supply side economic theorists, that the corporate leaders began to agitate against regulation, against the advent of the continued oversight of business by government. They were really trying to remove the influence of government from their businesses. At the same time, they were fighting vehemently to get rid of unions, and we began to see in the country this huge disparity between what top-level executives were making and what the average workers were making. And we went off in that direction pretty much on our own, Bill. The Europeans, as they, using to a very great extent U.S.-provided funds through the Marshall Plan, they went off in a direction that they called democratic socialism, or social democrat parties, and took a more expansive view of the social contract and the role of government in people's lives and in the daily operations of business.
Employees played a larger role in
absolutely
their
so that what was happening throughout Europe, especially in Germany, led by Germany, was employee participation mm-hmm. in the top management of corporations through the ability to select members on boards of directors and that mm-hmm. kinds of thing. Interestingly, we're now beginning to see that, to bring this full circle, we're beginning to see that here in the United States, as after this recent election, we're seeing the Democrats, especially the more left-leaning Democrats, trying to deal with this problem of how to regulate business and how to make sure that this disparity of incomes, and as you know, Bill, we've identified that as one of the fundamental problems in the economy today, is the fact that the middle class is disappearing.
Right.
And the Democrats appear to be taking that bull by the horns and trying to find a way to deal with it legislatively. And so what we're seeing now, and this is where David Leonhardt is going with this article, is more and more open discussion about what kinds of solutions we can have conversations about over the next couple of years that will not only articulate the problem, but begin to articulate systemic solutions to the problem. Because, and I believe he quotes Elizabeth Warren in this article, there's a real belief that left on their own, that corporate CEOs, the leaders of our corporations, will not be able to deal with this unless there's some rulemaking that kind of nudges them in the right direction.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Again, that's David
Leonhardt, right.
At the New York Times. That column is certainly worth reading. And Shelley Fishman, it's certainly worth our listeners' time to check you out at buckmastershow.com, where there is a link to what you do.
You bet.
Thank you very much, Shelley.
Thank
Have a great
Bill.
Week.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Support for the Buckmaster Show also comes from our friends at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful part of the Southwest United States, Southwest New Mexico, spelledout.org. That's the starting place for a great ideas on what to do over there, and there are all sorts of recreation ideas. Also, a complete listing of the many wonderful places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including just sort of hanging out in historic Silver City and enjoying a really great atmosphere. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Little bumper music from the group Chicago, Only the Beginning, and that's what's happening here at Bustos Media, our new owner. Bustos Media really putting a nice investment, building us new studios here that are under construction. Really exciting times for KVOI, all local talk from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., so certainly everybody's voice being heard on AM 1030 KVOI. I'll tell you, if you're getting ready for the holidays, your poinsettia headquarters is Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your poinsettias. 25,000 were grown in their warehouses, so they are ready right now, every imaginable color. While you're over there, do as I did on Saturday, Ann and I stopped by Zocalo Village, which has all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Very impressive. Now Zocalo located at Green Things. So there's lots going on over there, and there's lots going on always with Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and the founder, along with his lovely wife, Wendy, of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Of course, Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, combining about 23 discoveries. Dr. Levy, I presume. How are you, sir?
Hello there, Dr. Buckmaster. Good to hear your voice again, and I'm going to start by asking you a question.
Go ahead.
Where were you 50 years ago Christmas Eve, 1968?
Where was I? Probably in the Chicago area, coming back from my holiday vacation from the University of Arizona, where I was at the time a senior at the U of A. So I was back in Chicago.
Was it possible you were watching television?
Oh, certainly watching television.
I bet you were watching television. Mm-hmm. You were probably watching live from the moon when they were showing the Apollo 8 astronauts circling the moon.
I certainly
bet that's what you were doing, as was I.
You got it. And there was a Tucson connection, I believe, to that.
Oh, yes. Yep. Lots of and still is.
Uh-huh. So, I believe it was astronaut Borman, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He being a grad of Tucson High, as I recall.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was saying about the Tucson connection to that wonderful moment, Christmas Eve, 1968. Boy, hard to believe that's coming up on the 50-year anniversary
years
of that.
Ago, yes.
Oh, my goodness. How did our media shower turn out here within the recent couple of weeks?
Well, we had the Leonids, which was pretty weak, but in a few days we're going to have the Geminid shower, which is the strongest shower of the year. It's stronger than the summer Perseids. It's stronger than anything else, and I will be out there with my camera hoping to get a picture. If I get one, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to us, and we'll put it on the radio. Oh, well, we can't do that.
Yeah, put it on the radio.
Anyway, so we'll hope for a good shower. How about a Christmas star story?
Yes, I have a Christmas star story and a quote of the month, and it actually comes from Apollo 8. And it's Borman, Anders, and Lovell, who were in the command module orbiting the moon, and they all quoted a little bit from the book of Genesis. I'm not going to repeat the quote, except for certain parts of it, and one of them said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the land." And the firmament was made and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And each astronaut quoted a little bit from Genesis. And then Borman said these words, "We are now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you." And then they read from Genesis, and then he says, "And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, and a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good Earth." And I have never forgotten that.
Yeah.
50 years ago.
And you wonder now, 50 years hence, whether that could even be done in these kind of politically correct times, whether you would have astronauts talking like that. You know what I'm saying, David?
Yes, I know what you're saying. And as a matter of fact, there was a lawsuit that a lady took out against NASA for using the Bible, quoting from Genesis, on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And mentioning Christmas from a government agency should not have been done.
Hmm.
Anyway, six months later, on July the 20th, 1969, Buzz Aldrin decided he was going to do communion on the moon, and which he did, but he didn't mention it. He didn't tell that to anybody else. He just said, you know, with all the events that have happened in the past few hours and few years, I'm sure that each of us has some thoughts that we'd like to share, and let's spend a couple of minutes just sharing those thoughts, whatever they are. And that's when they stopped communicating, and he took communion.
Wow.
Quietly.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting... I did not realize that, David
Yeah,
Levy.
It certainly was. It wasn't in the movie.
No.
I got to say, I really wasn't crazy about the movie First Man, but...
Yeah.
I know that they didn't put that line in the movie, as far as I remember.
Now, speaking of things religious, I want to wish you and your lovely wife, Wendy, a happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah began, I recall, two on the 2nd, so we're into day three. So
yes, and Wendy, Bill is wishing us a happy Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy, as you can hear, she just said happy Hanukkah back to you, and so we are, we really were excited, and we're so excited to get your card. Thank you so much for being so thoughtful.
Well, I always like to remember those that mean so much to me and to this program. And
yeah, we've been together for many, many years.
We have. I can't recall when we actually started on the TV show, but I know it was every month for many years on Arizona Illustrated. So we have been together, I want to say, probably 15 or 20 years.
I would say at least that. I think it started just after or before Wendy and I were married.
Wow.
And we've now been married for 23 years.
Well, that sounds about right then.
Yeah.
David, I want to wish you again a happy Hanukkah, a great holiday season, and all the best to you. I think we're all set up for you for our first program of 2019, so we'll look forward to your thoughts.
Yeah, it'll be in early January.
There you go. Thank you, David, and all the best to Wendy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, David Levy, one of our great contributors to this program. I'm so proud of this group. We've got 24, 25 people, outstanding people in their fields who contribute to this program on a regular basis. We heard from one of them at the top of the program, Terry Bracey, our Washington contributor, and of course David Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Well, I'll tell you, a successful bakery, my favorite bakery in town, is Mona's Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're getting ready for Christmas. If you stop by right now, I guarantee you're going to have a great lunch. And why not pick up a box of the Christmas cookies? Oh, my goodness. I don't know, Steve, the chief baker, and the team. I think they've put every imaginable great cookie into a container, and it's something you might want to bring to the office. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. How about a Kringle for Christmas Eve morning? Wouldn't that be good? Or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Anyway, go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And also, you can go directly to Mona's website. It's monasdanishbakery.com. Their number is 579-1959. We'll be right back with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our arts report sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. This Friday, December 7th, Fox welcomes internationally acclaimed guitar virtuoso Trace Bundy, referred to as the Acoustic Ninja. Good seats are still available, and tickets start at just $27 to see Trace Bundy, Acoustic Ninja, on Friday, December the 7th. Then on December 11th, the Fox Theater will host Alan Cumming, the Legal Immigrant Tour, described by Mr. Cumming himself as a true old-fashioned cabaret, a smorgasbord of genres, styles, and tales, laughter, tears, and of course, provocation. Sounds like a great show. For more information and to purchase tickets or to give the gift of live entertainment to someone on your holiday list, please visit FoxTucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan, author of two prize-winning books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Her latest book, the earlier book, still doing well, Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Border. Margaret has been writing about the arts in Tucson for the Tucson Weekly since 1990. We are just delighted to have her as our arts contributor on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you in this busy holiday time?
Oh, it is just so busy this time of year. And I was reading the current issue of the Tucson Weekly, the November 29th edition. Sad to see a couple of icons going by the wayside.
Yeah, it is sad. Conrad Wild Gallery, which is really kind of one of my favorite small galleries, has been here for 13 years. And Miles Conrad, the owner and curator, showed extremely contemporary art, but it was always, you know, even though it was made of very unconventional materials, most famously toilet paper rolls, metal shelves, plywood, you know, not glamorous materials at all, he always selected artists that made these things, constructed them beautifully with such care and craft, and making these things really gorgeous. So it was really had held a distinctive place in the galleries downtown, but, you know, 13 years, he's been working there full-time on his own, and he said he never made enough money to pay himself a salary.
Wow.
You know, the gallery, he had made enough to pay the rent and all those things, but he's a father now, two little kids. He said he just can't continue to spend so much time on an enterprise that doesn't, you know, pay the bills at home. So it is closing. Very regretful about that. But he's having a big salon show starting this weekend and lasting until the following Saturday with reduced prices. So that's good. But so I asked him, does this mean are we really having trouble with the small arts venues downtown? You know, downtown's booming, right?
Sure is. Yep.
Restaurants, big new apartment buildings. Everybody wants to go down there. Prices are rising. We don't really have the space anymore for the little galleries that I used to see back in the 90s. I'd go down there and young artists would just rent a little art space and make a gallery for a while, and they could afford to do it.
Yeah, some of these artists just would, as you say, they'd rent a place, and you almost had, like, almost every month there would be a new gallery turning up downtown.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, right? Because these were young artists,
sure.
And they had, you know, interesting visions, and usually these poor kids, they were paying for the rent with their credit cards, and I would say, oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Conrad, Miles Conrad, he's a very sweet guy, and he said, you know, I'm not totally negative about it. He said, I see the possibilities that new galleries will emerge as more people focus on the arts downtown. So he's hopeful, you know, downtown is hopping, you know, maybe somehow. He was in the Steinfeld Warehouse, which is a nonprofit, part of a nonprofit organization now. So his final gallery space was cheap, you know, cheaper than the commercial ones. So, and then the other person is Tom Philibom, who's the, you know, glass art king of Tucson and well known around the country. And he's 73 now, and he announced last year that he has Parkinson's. So if you've ever been in that glass studio with him, you know how challenging that is physically. He used to tell me, even as a much younger man, very, you know, you have this hole that you stick in, what they call the glory hole, that's the furnace.
Yeah.
Very hard on your back, you know, very demanding physically, and he just can't do it anymore. So he's closing that whole glass studio that was so fun for tourists and locals to go in and watch them working. At the end of this month, you can still have a chance to go in and see them. But he is going to keep the gallery space.
Oh, good.
And he's continuing to do work. You know, there's a way of using cold slab glass. He's been making these layered wall works that are really quite beautiful with paint in them.
Uh-huh.
So they're more like, you know, 3D paintings on the wall than the kind of sculptural glass work he did. But you know, that's sort of just time passing. But good for him. You know, he's going to soldier on and do his art.
You also had a piece about Danny Leon, didn't you, in the current issue?
Yeah.
His work at the Etherton right now.
Yeah, he's really one of my favorite photographers. You know, he's also in his 70s, but working away. Man, he's such a productive guy, very active politically. And he got his start as a very young man, still in college, photographing the civil rights movement in the South, and had created some really beautiful, iconic photos of, you know, the protests and the police beatings. And so he's had a great reputation for a long time. The current show is an interesting thing. He lives in New Mexico, and he moved there 40, 50 years ago and decided to start photographing his neighbors, who were mostly sort of very poor people living on the edge, and has followed them all these years off and on, making photos of them so we can see the progression of their lives. And he pairs them with these documentary movies that he makes. And they showed it at the Center for Creative Photography when the show, the photography show, opened at Etherton.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it on Vimeo for free. And you see this one man that I followed in the photos, this beautiful young boy as a kid, excited at a carnival. And then in the movie, you see him 55 years old, obese, really poor.
Wow.
Schizophrenia, you know, just sort of all the woes of poverty and poor health. So, but they're very interesting photos. And, you know, they're all shot in New Mexico, and it's hard to avoid that, the beauty of the New Mexico landscape. So you see that too in juxtaposition with these hard lives that people are living.
Margaret, let's try to carve a minute or so out about the upcoming issue, Dance, and of course, what would the holidays be without the Nutcracker?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And our two top companies that have been doing it are celebrating their 25th anniversary, Ballet Tucson, which is our one professional studio in town or company. They're up this weekend at the Music Hall. The following weekend is a Southwest Nutcracker, which is the one that people like because it's set in 1880s Tucson instead of the Victorian era.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to give a shout-out at Ballet Tucson. They have an extraordinary prima ballerina, Jenna Johnson. This is her 15th Nutcracker for the company. And she's dancing as beautifully as ever. I mean, she's just a real Tucson treasure, and probably she doesn't get enough praise and attention, but she's dancing wonderfully, and I can't wait to see her dance the Sugar Plum Fairy this Saturday night.
Do you know her age, approximately?
I'm guessing she's 40 by this time,
mm-hmm.
because she had had a career already before she came to Tucson as a younger woman, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. She did have a baby a couple years ago, and man, she snapped right back.
Wow.
Just so disciplined.
And you know, 40 sounds in some ways young, but when in the ballet profession, that's such a grueling task.
Very
performing.
So. Well, the artistic director says that Jenna is genetically gifted. So here we are in Tucson with the opportunity to see that gift this weekend.
Now, are you going away for the holidays, or what are your plans?
No, I always stay home. Both of my kids are coming home. This is really the one time of year the whole family gets together for an extended period of time. And I just like being in Tucson at Christmas time. It's wonderful. It's just so charming and medium weather. We go hiking with the family, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
Well, we'll be around, too. It is a wonderful time in Tucson. You just kind of hate to get on a plane or drive away when the weather is so delightful here. I would rather not be in a crowded place around the holidays traveling.
Yeah, home for the holidays.
There you
right?
go. Margaret Regan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Margaret Regan, our arts contributor to the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Arts Report is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. With the holiday season upon us, it's the perfect time to gather friends and family for an afternoon or evening enjoying a performance at the Fox Theater. You can go online, and we encourage you to do so, to view the full schedule of live performances and classic films. Be sure to stop in this Saturday, December the 8th, see Ryan Hood perform in a free second Saturday concert For more information, to purchase tickets, or to give the gift of live entertainment to someone on your holiday list, please visit foxtucson.com. And of course, coming up, Trace Bundy, the acoustic ninja. He'll be performing on the 7th of December. And then the 11th of December, it's Alan Cumming, the legal immigrant tour at the Fox. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and along with Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer who does such a great job for us on the other side of the glass, we'll wrap it up for our noontime edition on this Tuesday, but there's much more local talk to come. A show I look forward to after my program each day is Steve Rivera, the most knowledgeable sports guy in Tucson. His show is Eye on the Ball. He hit a home run right out of the box with his program. Great program. I'll be listening. Hope you will be too. Have a great afternoon.